Once when I was 22, I got a hand job in a recliner, and as a result, I came into my own mouth. And I want to tell you guys, it is not that big a deal.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another Saturday night of the new era of the Republican-controlled House and Senate, what we're called the Dark Times. I am Josh Hadley. With me is Kat crying on the inside.
I am crying on the inside all the time.
And Charlie Giant Pussy crying on the outside.
Through my giant pussy.
Fair enough. As I said, we just had our midterm elections. We're going to talk about them in a little bit. But first, I need you guys to try and relax a little bit. I know the dark times are coming in January, but in the meantime, you can go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code WHAT to get 10 free gifts. You can get 6 free DVDs, a gift for him, a gift for her, a free mystery gift, and free U.S. shipping. It'll help you through the new Republican end times. Well, before we get to the Republicans, let's get into
You make me want something in my butt.
Well, if you want that, you can always do...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Which is not actually so dumb this time. Harvard is running a seminar called What in the Butt Anal Sex 101. I'm serious.
That is a real thing.
It is. Quoting, those who attend the class were able to learn anal anatomy and the potential for pleasure for all genders, how to talk about it with a partner, basic preparation and hygiene, lubes, anal toys and safer sex, anal penetration for beginners, and much more. Come learn everything about anal sex from the experts at Good Vibrations, a sex-positive store located in Brookline. Harvard is offering a course on anal sex.
More like Massachusetts. No, but seriously, guys, I actually think it's a really good idea. I think it's very responsible. I think that it can be a very useful class if you're not a squeamish little third grader. Like, if you can be an adult about sexuality, I think that would be a great class. I think maybe that's why so many women just assume that it's going to be unpleasant, which, let's be honest, it probably will be at first. But I think with a lack of ignorance, we all might get along better as a species.
In the butt.
In the butt.
But, Kat, do you have a rebuttal?
Well, since you asked, I think this is great. I think this was part of Harvard's, what, sex week? So it's not like it's a full course
don't get
or anything.
Ready for anything. Yeah.
it's not like it's, you know, an entire semester of learning how to do it in the butt. Because, frankly, if you need an entire semester, you're probably doing it wrong.
But if you're going to study for the finals, is it right to cram for it?
I think mostly that this article is really great. I think this is fantastic that this is going on just so we can talk about it and make puns.
But also in a more realistic sense, is this the official anal sex has entered pop culture and that it's no longer a taboo subject unless you're a Republican that hates the gays?
I wouldn't say that. I don't think it's part of pop culture just because there's nothing cultural about anal sex. I mean, you can't say, hey, I'm from the South. It's all we've got. Like, you know, Michael Vick tried that with dog fighting, and it didn't work for him. Not sure why it should work for butt sex either. So I wouldn't say that means anal sex is part of the pop culture, because I don't even know how that would work. There's no culture involved. People have been doing the butt for years.
I wonder how Harvard funds this. Do you think it kind of comes out of the back end?
You cheeky son of a bitch.
I probably don't even have anything to say anymore, because I'm just trying to hear how many more puns you can come up with.
We're very punny people.
You're very punny in your minds, in the very back of your minds.
Well, you know, Charlie went and got drunk, so he's well lubricated.
Thank you very much.
Let's move from that to the people who totally, absolutely hate the butt sex, the Republicans. The Republicans just waged a bloodbath, really, on the Democrats this midterm. They overwhelmingly murdered the Democrats in the election. And this is the weird part. It doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican. The voters are idiots. Overwhelmingly, Republicans got voted in over Democrats. At the same time, propositions in 20 states were overwhelmingly voted in that are liberal. So you voted in liberal policies, and then you voted in the people who are going to block those liberal policies. How schizophrenic can voters be?
I think part of this is probably, I don't even know what this is. I want to say some of it at least has to do with like a lack of education around the policymakers and the people that you're voting in. Some people vote only on a particular subject. Like some people just want to vote for a single proposition and they don't really know anything about the people, but they care about a particular topic. So they'll go in and vote for that topic, but not really caring about necessarily the people they're electing into office.
I agree for the most part. I think voters can only become so schizophrenic until they're actually considered candidates. Because if you want to talk about fucking schizophrenia, talk about any candidate that has flip-flopped on an issue just based on current events, just based on popular opinion. It's bullshit. It's like the desperate kid who's like, who will let you use his ping pong table and his pool and everything if you'll just hang out.
Doesn't it say something about society at large that we overwhelmingly vote to legalize pot and then we overwhelmingly vote to the people who think pot should be illegal? Does that say we are a split society, or like Kat intimated, we just don't do the research, that potheads just went, dude, I just want to vote on that legislation. I don't really care who's running against it.
I think it's a little of this, little of that. I think a lot of it is just dissatisfaction with the government being placed on the quote-unquote ruling party, which is currently Democrat. And by that, I mean the president is a Democrat. Therefore, everything is the Democrats' fault. Whether or not you're a Democrat, you're still dissatisfied with Democrats. So a lot of people maybe are just shifting the blame over to Democrats and just voting Republican for the sake of voting Republican, for the sake of having something different, while voting for the stuff that they do care about, whether that be pot or gay marriage or whatever.
But does it make sense to vote against your own best interests just out of spite?
No, but there is absolutely nothing about our political system that A, works in our best interest, and B, makes sense. So
fair enough point.
Like, I don't think there's anything you can do in your best interest.
Well, I think it's indicative of the split that's always been in society and always forever, ever more will be in society. That's the double-edged sword of diversity. I mean, America is one of the most diversified nations on the planet. We've got tons of different races, tons of different nationalities, ethnicities. With all that diversity, you're going to have arguments as well. You're going to have disagreements. And you're going to have a president who is doing a shitty job because a presidency can only be as strong as a weak-ass Congress will allow them to be.
But there's also the fact that...
I don't think it makes sense to vote against your own interests out of spite, but I do think that's what's happening a lot of the time.
The Congress has been ineffectual because the Republicans have blocked everything Obama's tried to do, and then they blame Obama for not getting anything done, and that's what they ran on and they won on. So does that mean they're actually a little smarter than I usually give them credit for?
I don't think it makes them smarter. I think it shows the average American voter to be even dumber than I thought. It's the same result, it's just not the same means to that end, rather. I don't know. I think voters are getting stupid because you're stupider than the average American.
Starting to matter less and less who does what. I think it just matters what the perceived productivity of any given person is. And as the president is the figurehead for pretty much all the government, it's so easy to just blame the president for everything and not bother to find out why Obama is so unproductive and blah, blah, blah. I think we're just becoming more and more polarized. And it matters less and less who's getting stuff done and more just blaming somebody.
To go against the whole best interest thing, this election, more than any other year, has had the most crazies. And by that, I mean the House Committee on Sciences and the Environment just in this election got rid of 8 people who were actual either scientists or listened to the scientists and voted in climate deniers. And also, Charlie, this man's in your state now.
Yeah.
Gordon Klingelschmidt, a radical anti-gay religious right activist who brags that he once rid a woman of the foul spirit of lesbianism through an exorcism, openly proclaims, quote, "American law needs to reflect God's law. The foreign policy must be based on the tenets of the Bible as laid out in said book." He wrote a book about how President Obama is possessed by demons, how gay people, quote, "want your soul and sexually abuse their own children," and he says he faces discrimination for his beliefs. You just got this fucking nut.
I mean, I guess technically he is being discriminated against because his beliefs are batshit insane. And not being batshit insane in this case is a form of discrimination. So I do understand that. As an American, it makes me sick that someone this full of hate and this ignorant and this fucking loony can get elected to public office. However, as a comedian working in Colorado, it makes me jump around like a kid on Christmas fucking morning because I now have a go-to punchline for the next 2 years.
Gordon Klingelschmidt, how does someone this nuts get elected by a wide margin? Just because he's not a Democrat, basically.
That's all I can think of is, like, that's how desperate people are for a perceived alternative, that they will just vote for any other name on the ballot without actually knowing anything about this person.
He actually ran on these points.
Yeah, but that would involve you actually, like, looking up these people, like, or paying attention. When you go
that
into
is a
a
good point.
Like, seriously, how many people walk into the ballot box and are like, okay, I'm going to vote with this person because they're the same party that I align myself with, and this person for that reason, and this person, and then the one person that they do care about, you know?
He actually thinks gay marriage bans, the judges who strike down gay marriage bans, are imposing the devil's law upon people and will be overturned by Jesus Christ himself.
I don't know. This guy's just insane. But no, like people, that's how little research Americans are willing to do, that they'll vote for anybody as long as people would vote for the devil if the devil was running on the right ticket. Like, seriously.
The right ticket. I see what you did there.
Yeah, like that's how little people care. That's how polarized we are as a nation, where people are willing to vote for whoever without knowing anything about them just because they are Democrat or a Republican.
And this election seemed to be less about I'm voting Democrat or Republican than I'm voting against Democrat. Seemed to have a weird backlash that in my adult life as a voter, I have never seen this kind of vitriolic hate against one party.
That's really where my beef comes into the picture. I mean, the reason why I didn't vote in the midterms and why I have not voted in the midterms for so long is because every year there becomes more and more negative ads versus the number of positive ads. I cataloged all the political ads that I saw on YouTube and network TV for a week. How It Broke Down was about one positive ad for a candidate just outlining his platform for every six negative ads were, for the most part, it was for the senatorial election. Cory Gardner was running against Mark Udall, and I saw so many different commercials about how Mark Udall votes with President Obama 99% of the time. Mark Udall hangs out with Obama. He goes golfing with him. Like, shit like that. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is bullshit. This is like girls in high school we can't hang out with her because they hang out with them, and we can't do that.
Charlie McMullen, have you now, or have you ever been,
a Democrat?
This is like Red Scare all over again, but the Democrats are the ones.
I don't know. I just think that this campaign, especially because it gets worse every year, I'm sure in 2 years it's going to be even worse than it was now. It's all based on hate, fear-mongering, and just trying to elicit a violent, knee-jerk gut reaction from the average voter, which has plenty of violent, knee-jerk gut reactions to go around.
But like in my state of Wisconsin, that evil, fucking incompetent Koch brothers dick sucker, Scott Walker, was running against Mary Burke, the Democrat. Now, she only lost by a small margin. He had a unique campaign. He kind of did what you were saying. He ran positive ads. I've created this many jobs. Yeah, you know how you created that many jobs? By breaking up the unions, firing everyone with tenure, and hiring incompetent people. That's how you created jobs. All of Scott Walker's campaign was, look what I've done for the state. Look how good it is, even if it was lies. Mary Burke ran factually accurate ads about how 8 of Scott Walker's staff have now been indicted on corruption charges, how he broke up all the unions, and he's like, she's just running a negative campaign. I'm trying to go on what's positive. He was lying. She was telling factually accurate negative ads, and that was seen as, oh, you're just muckraking, Mary Burke. You're just muckraking. It's all about perception. It doesn't matter that what she was saying about Scott Walker was factually accurate and what he was saying was not. It's all just about perception. Perception of the American people, and in my case, the Wisconsin people, are, you're fucking morons!
I mean, we already had lunatics who think that if it's a legitimate rape, your body has a way of shutting that whole thing down. I don't think we actually
needed
to... Not
like it was rape.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think we did, actually, this
actually,
go around.
No. You guys... Was it Michigan or you guys that now have to get rape insurance?
That's Michigan.
Okay.
That's another MI state.
This proved to me that democracy, as on paper, does not work. Because all of this campaign was about who had the most money and who could tell the prettiest lies. That's not what democracy is supposed to be about.
It's really not.
Is it just that the people don't care? In New York, the guy that just got elected. Remember, this is the guy who threatened to throw a reporter off a balcony for asking him a question about his then-impending corruption indictments. He has now been indicted on 20 different counts. He will be adjudicating from jail. Mm-hmm. He won by an overwhelming margin. That says to me, the voters are idiots.
What it says to me is that the apathetic are no longer there to cancel out the stupid. Because I think Kat is right in that a lot of people just vote because they think it's their civic duty, you know, doing what they think they're supposed to. It takes more than just a willingness to vote, though. It takes research of the candidates. It takes an informed electorate to make the system work. But then you have a bunch of people like me who have lost all faith in the system, who are unable to vote for the better candidate because both candidates are soulless pieces of shit because they're candidates in the first place. It takes a certain kind of asshole to run for public office. The number of people voting for the best candidate are getting to be outnumbered by the people that are voting for just the coolest sounding name.
Are you saying Klingelschmidt is not a cool sounding name?
I'm saying that cool sounding name is why he was elected. I thought, because they just legalized marijuana in Colorado. I bet a ton of people were stoned when they went to the voting booths, had no idea who either candidate was, and they just said, Klingelschmidt. I'm going to vote for this dude. Not knowing who he was. I mean, I'm sure that if I had voted this year, that's exactly what I would have done.
So are you saying you're part of the problem?
I'm saying we are all part of the problem. Yes, I'm part of the problem. Kat is part of the problem for not campaigning for the candidate that she wanted to win, for the one that she believed in, like the one she felt positively about. You're part of the problem for voting out of spite. You're voting out of your emotions that you felt.
Oh yeah, I voted anti-Republican just out of spite. I won't deny that.
Right. We are all part of the problem. That means the system is fucked, and we need to try something else.
But it also says something that they haven't even taken office yet. The change won't happen until January. And Mitch McConnell already is saying, first things we're going to do, we're going to repeal Obamacare. We're going to get rid of the EPA. He says those EPA restrictions, they're just too much on big business. We're going to impeach the president. And then the next day he walks up to the president. I'm looking forward to working with you and coming to compromises.
Yeah, Josh, this is how it's going to end for us.
That's why I'm calling this the dark times. January starts the dark times.
I honestly don't think that's how it's going to go at all. That gives them way too much credit for being able to get anything done. I think even if...
Are you banking on their incompetence?
Yeah, I really am, because I have to have that much faith in my country in order to not move.
Richard Nixon taped every conversation.
And this is a woman who's lived in other countries.
I have lived, yes, but I'm still an American fucking citizen. I honestly think this is just bluster. This is just them puffing up their chest going, this is what we're going to do, because that's what every fucking politician does. They go, these are the promises that we've made, and now we're not going to fulfill any of them.
Trouble is, the brain atrophy is like any other muscle. I think it's been long enough since they've actually done anything as a productive Congress that they've probably forgotten how. So it'll take a while just to learn how to do your jobs again after how many government shutdowns, after how many fucking congressional deadlocks. Every election season, I just find new reasons why we're fucked as not as a species, but at least as a country.
So we're going to take a break. Here's a song, After Heart. We'll be back.
Who are you with? Where have you been? Hey, you folks, Hart D. Fisher is here with another heart attack, and boy, things have been goddamn crazy for me. Things are nuts. They're going good. They're going nutty. I don't know, man. How was the Alice Cooper Motley Crue show? You just got to go do that for what, your birthday?
My wife's birthday.
How was it?
Alice Cooper kicked ass. As a 66-year-old man, he has not slowed down at all. Now, Motley Crue, on the other hand, not so much. Let's put it this way. Vince cannot sing anymore, and they are trying so hard to cover the fact that Vince Neil cannot sing anymore. He actually, his voice cracked, Weishart, and he forgot the words in the middle of a song. When after the third time in the middle of a lyric, you're going, and then I go to, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going, you forgot the fucking words, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine in a band. Actually, he's been on the show, my buddy Johnny G, John Pence. And he
from
used
Dresden.
To do that all the time. Yeah, Dresden. He used to forget the lyrics all the time and just make the shit up on stage and cover it up with a whoa, 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 yeah. Fucking A, man.
Yeah, so...
Well, I'm glad you guys had a good time. That's cool. I've heard that Motley Crue, that's everything I've ever heard about seeing them live in the last 15 years. Question I have is, was Mick Mars like an animatronic robot, or did he actually move? That poor bastard is so fucked up. He just looks like a fucking living dead.
He does still, Mick Mars does still look living dead, but he did move around and he had this just overly long guitar solo to the point where I actually looked at my wife at one point and said, get on with it already. I mean, the guitar solo was like 7 minutes of him just hitting random strings. It's like, oh my God, just move along.
So did you hear about this cannibal cop in New York who got out scot-free? He'd been planning on kidnapping a woman and eating her and had been illegally using his police database, his ability to access the police database. This is a police officer in New York. He's 33. He's 30 years old. He was convicted in March in 2013 of conspiracy to kidnap, rape, torture, cook alive, and eat several women, including his wife. And
yep. We talked about that on What the Fuck way back when that happened, yeah.
Well, the jury's decision was overturned in June by a federal judge. What the fuck is a federal judge doing coming in and overturning the jury's decision? That doesn't seem appropriate to me. What the fuck is a federal judge have to do with a state jury conviction of a police officer who was plotting to – I didn't even know one of the people he was going to do this to was his wife.
Because what the law part of this came down to, he had not done anything, that this was fantasy. That was his defense. I was fantasizing the same way if somebody writes fanfic about rape, they're not actually considering rape. He was saying, I was just fantasizing, and the judge said, you cannot be convicted on a fantasy that you did not act on.
Well, I don't know, man. It sure sounds to me like it's a plot and a plan to commit murder. You know, how about a terrorist plot? Gee, one could easily take the laws we have in this age and say, hey, this guy is a terrorist who's looking to terrorize people, and you could convict him of that easily. What really scares me is that they let him get out with time served. And you're talking about a cop who's using his police database to stalk somebody. That's pretty fucked up.
Well, I think you mean a former cop now, because the police officers pretty quickly went, well, but now they're like pretty much, yeah, you're not an officer anymore.
No. While he was a police officer, and on this show, you and I have talked extensively about how we feel that this NSA spying is going to impact people because there's bad people out there and they walk the halls of power and they're going to use this material to hurt people and to fuck with people.
But in this case, while I don't agree with the judge, I do kind of agree with his reasoning, because then you're trying to go, at what point does a fantasy that you have not acted on become real?
And say very simply this, by accessing that database, he made real-world steps to enact his plan, okay? That's a real-world step. And cops know this shit. Modus operandi, your method of operation. Like here in Highland Park, while you were at the Alice Cooper Motley Crue show, I had a murder one block from my house. A man shot another man down on the sidewalk, and I had walked past that very spot just an hour or so earlier walking my dog. And then the cops were out all night long. Dude, I'm always talking about this shit. And I laugh when the newspapers, they talk about Highland Park in a way that puts regular people in danger. Knowledge is power. And you need to know the lay of the land so you know where you should be walking at night, where it's not safe to be a woman. You need to be aware of these things. And Highland Park, they keep sweeping it under the ground because real estate people have a plan for this neighborhood and they don't want people to know how dangerous it is. And all these new folks moving in, well, they're a great victim pool. We're having a horrible time with crime, with home invasions, with robberies, with burglaries, especially with auto theft. These idiots in the neighborhood council are spending all their time removing vehicle lanes on streets that lessens the police's ability to respond to an emergency. It makes it longer for an ambulance to get there. The police and the ambulance drivers and the fire department have all come out and said this, but they all want to put their head in the sand and go, but we like bike lanes. Well, it ain't about bike lanes, folks. It's about safety. It's about the safety of the people. It's about the police having access to the streets. It's about us as a people knowing what's happening in our streets around us. And yeah, I'll tell you, I'm goddamn glad I've got a fucking gun. This is the world I live in. I don't live in a pretend world. I live in the very real world. And people are getting killed around me. Last summer, you guys have heard me talk about this. I walked, we're going to have a guest on Heart Attack who is going to talk about, he's a man, and he's going to talk about being raped. And he's going to talk about being raped by his family members and by in a mental institution. And it's pretty scary shit. So we talk about real stuff on this show by real people who experience these things. We're not talking about somebody who's writing a fantasy or thinking about something they read online. We're going to be talking to somebody about the real horrors in their life. And I'm talking now about real horrors in my neighborhood. So when I talk about gun control or I talk about the law or the police, I'm coming from a very real place where people are living and dying. And that's kind of where the whole thing about Heart Attack is. When you guys listen to the show, I'm talking about facts. I'm talking about real things that happen. I'm talking about real laws that are being engaged. No conspiracy theory shit at all. And I had a chopper hovering over my house for over an hour, just hovering over my house for an hour. Now that makes you feel like you're in occupied territory. It's terrible.
You kind of are.
I am. It's really brutal, dude. It's really fucking brutal over here. And I really wish that people would get serious about this. You know, all these proponents that want to put women on bicycles and send them riding through a bad neighborhood, you're setting these women up to be fucking raped, guys. Because a locked car is a lot safer and a lot better for a woman to go through a neighborhood like this. Now, other people will say, oh, you're just a conspiracy theory guy. No, I'm a guy who's had his loved ones raped. It's very real to me. And it didn't just happen once. It's happened several times. So, ladies of Highland Park, watch yourselves. Careful if you're riding in those bike lanes late at night. Carry something on you. Carry some pepper spray. Carry a little fucking, some kind of, well, you know, I can't tell you. I would love to tell them that, but they could get busted by the police for having something like that. So it's really tricky. They're stripping away our ability to protect ourselves and trying to say, oh, you have to rely on us. You have to rely on us. Well, when I look at the justice system and I see that they let guys like this cannibal cop out with, dude, they didn't have to let him out with time served. That's the spit in the face. They could have said, oh yeah, these convictions are no good, but you should serve out your time on the other conviction.
Or be under observation or parole or something. Because in the case of the cannibal cop, he clearly has mental problems. That needs to be addressed, or we're going to be revisiting this in a year or two when he finally acts out what he was attempting.
Very, very true, Josh. Very true. Coming up to the end, I might as well give you the plug for Twitter. You know, we're on there, Heart Attack Radio. We're on Twitter as Heart_Fisher. We're on the Facebook. Go ahead and hit us up. Facebook has destroyed the organic news feed. And I've noticed that a lot of the political posts that are really hairy or really scary, gee, Facebook doesn't let them get spread around. So if you guys want to see some of the story pools that we draw from, go to facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio, and you can see these stories for yourself because it's not going to show up in your newsfeed. Even if you hit the like button, it won't. They're suppressing the dissemination of political information on the web. It's a big, big problem. So I need you guys to go check it out for yourself. Guys, to go log in there, check it out, read it. If you don't want to be on Facebook, that's great, but you can still look at it even as the person who's not a Facebook member. You can still go to facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio and read these stories. One more thing before we go, I wanted to let people know, if you're a horror fan, a man named Corey Mitchell dropped dead of a heart attack at the Housecore Horror Festival this year. Corey was instrumental in making the Housecore Horror Festival happen. And Corey was instrumental in bringing me to South by Southwest as a guest back in 2011. And that's where I got to be on a panel with Phil Anselmo. And I got to meet Phil and hang out with Phil. It was great, great experience. Well, Corey's gone, but his family is still here. So if you can, please go to fundraiser.com. If you can make a contribution to help out his family, he's got two little girls that I know could use some help. Thanks a lot for listening to Heart Attack. I'll be back next week.
Got no job, I can't get paid. I got no friends, I can't get laid. I need some inspiration, just like the newspapers say. You caught me on a bad day, I'm back from the dead. Ship sailed in, ship sailed out, my chips all down, my red lights out. I need some motivation, just like the radio said. You caught me on a bad day, I'm back from the dead. Yes, I'm back, yes, I'm back, it was breaking my heart. Yes, I'm back, yes, I'm back, it was breaking my heart.
Is the internet creating crazy people, or is the internet just allowing crazy people a forum? In Port Orchard, Michigan, a guy killed a woman. The photos of her body showed up on fucking 4chan before her body had even been discovered. The guy was showing all of his friends. Quote, check out the news for Port Orchard, Washington in a few hours. Her son will be home from school soon. He'll find her, then call the cops. I just wanted to share the pics before they find me. I found a BB gun that looks realistic enough. When they come, I'll pull it and it will be suicide by cop. I understand the doubts, just check the fucking news. I have to lose my phone now. Unquote. What does it say that the photos of her body show up on 4chan before the body is even discovered?
The first thing I thought was, how many times has this happened now? Because it's not the first time where people have committed crimes and posted about it very specifically on 4chan. I don't remember any very specific incidents about murder and posting pictures of bodies, but certainly this isn't the first time.
It just illuminates a cross-section of the country that is just completely desensitized and unfeeling towards humanity in pretty much every way.
It almost sounds like David Kalec was trying to show off to his buddies. You know, hey, look what I did. Now, the internet's obviously not responsible for that, and 4chan is the Mos Eisley of the internet. We all know that.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Do these things feed on one another, or was this pretty much the same pre-internet with people that were trying to get on the news?
I don't think you can blame the internet for this. I mean, the internet doesn't create insane people any more than the Bible creates insane people. They're both just forms of stimulus that people that are already insane will use as an excuse to do really horrendous, heinous shit. In this case, I think you can't blame the internet at all. I think it's part of the human condition for some people. Trying to show off to your friends is what gave us racism, homophobia, sexism, shit like that. I don't think you can blame the internet on that. I think that's just a horrible... He was going to post pictures on the internet before calling the police. Actually, he didn't even call the police, did he? He was waiting for her son to get home, and then I figured he'll call the police. No, that's
some cold
horrible
shit right there, man.
That is some really cold shit. I think he would be a horrible person today with the internet, or a horrible person back then with the Bible. Just use it to hurt people.
Do you want to know just how horrible? He actually wrote this on the other part of his 4chan thread. Quoting, turns out it's way harder to strangle someone to death than it looks in the movies. She fought so damn hard. Unquote. That's a psychopath.
That's a psychopath, but it's an afterthought.
I just, these people are crazy. There are crazy, crazy, crazy fucking people in this world. And unfortunately, we all live on the same planet. I mean, I wish I could rocket these people to the moon.
But then there were people on 4chan that were... People on 4chan didn't call the cops. They were, like, commenting, oh, cool, man, great pics. And I'm not going 4chan is the problem. Do you think that 4chan right now is acting as a way for psychopaths to congregate?
The internet is a great place to get attention, if that's what you want. But the internet is also a place where if you navigate it correctly, you should be full of doubt and skepticism. And a lot of these people are full of snark and skepticism. I don't know. A lot of people, like, just doubt everything that they read on the internet, which honestly is a good, healthy attitude to have towards the internet. So you get a lot of people.
The day before we're recording this, Macaulay Culkin died. By the way, he's not dead.
Go figure. So I think a lot of people go onto 4chan knowing that people are trying to get attention and are willing to say crazy shit like they just murdered a person in order to get it. So I honestly can't say that I blame anybody for not calling the cops, because if you talk to somebody on 4chan, would you believe a word they said?
No, but he had photos.
And you can't Photoshop something?
I would still call the cops to be better safe than sorry. Remember back when we talked about the Dan Aykroyd killing a guy from Loose Cannons? Better safe than sorry. You know, we couldn't blame that guy for calling the cops, even though in retrospect it was overreaction. I'd rather you call the cops and no murder took place than a real murder took place and having this woman's, if he's coming home from school, underage son find her body, you know?
I always call the cops based on suspicion because I hope it turns out to be nothing, because I like the idea of making cops work.
Wow, that goes into a different angle.
Some of them seem to have a problem with that, and I'm just doing my part to weed out the lazy. I do think 4chan is a place for psychopaths to congregate, as do I think that about the entire internet. Facebook is a place where psychopaths congregate. Twitter, Instagram.
This show.
Hello.
This show. Psychopaths listen to this show and they congregate in the comments.
Psychopaths are on this show.
Yeah. I just think the internet is a place for psychopaths to congregate. But it's just a tool. What you do with it is determined by what kind of person you are.
Well, how about for a bad person? How about David Manning, not the fake film critic David Manning, James David Manning of the Worldwide Missionary Church. Quote,
oh, yeah.
Starbucks is taking specimens of male semen and putting it in the blends of their lattes, unquote. By the way, I like it male semen because women have semen? No, actually they don't. If you took the butt course, they'd let you know that, you know?
See, I just imagine friends of mine walking into Starbucks going, hey, they didn't say which one. It could be chicks cum.
I'm going to keep quoting from him before I get your guys' thoughts. My suspicion is that they're getting their semen from sodomites. The semen flavors up the latte and makes you think you are having a good time drinking it. I'm not done yet. There will not be a public sodomite in Harlem in not too many days. Starbucks will be found to be perverting its customers and perverting human sexuality. As if drinking Starbucks is some sort of sacrificial ritual bath where they kill the innocent babies and drink their blood and Starbucks will close. Unquote.
This guy is way, way too obsessed with putting semen in his mouth.
In his coffee, specifically.
Yeah, like, this guy is really, really fixated. Now, I'm not much for Freud, but he's kind of got a thing about this oral fixation, and, like, this is one of those things that I feel like is projection.
He also thinks, quote, upscale sodomites are spreading Ebola in Starbucks, unquote. It's not those low-class sodomites, Kat. It's those upscale sodomites.
This is one of those guys who reads Onion articles and believes that they're true. Like, he really is.
This is the kind of guy that gets his news from the Daily Current.
Right, right. This guy has obviously, because I think that was actually something in one of the articles that I read about him, was that he legitimately did, like, try and quote some satire article to prove his point. And we're like, wow, okay, so clearly you don't know how to navigate the internet, therefore you shouldn't.
Well, Charlie, I mean, have you tasted the upscale sodomite semen in your Starbucks?
Not in Starbucks. I don't know. They just have regular sodomites at the Whole Foods in my town. They don't have the upscales.
God, low class all the way around, huh?
In the more, yeah, you'll find those in the more urban areas. But I do have a message for Pastor Manning and all women in general. Once when I was 22, I got a hand job in a recliner, and as a result, I came into my own mouth. And I want to tell you guys, it is not that big a deal.
Let's talk about pathological hatred and stupidity then. Pastor Stephen J. Anderson of the Faithful Word Baptist Church, who he once prayed that Obama would die, which got him a little bit of a visit from the Secret Service. Now he's saying that Obama is a communist bastard with a literal whore of a mother. Now turn back to Psalm 58 and let me ask you this question. Why should Barack Obama melt like a snail? Why should Barack Obama die like the untimely birth of a woman? Why should his children be fatherless and his wife a widow, as we read in this passage? Well, I will tell you why. Because since Barack Obama thinks it's okay to use a salty solution, right, to abort the unborn, because that's how abortions are done, my friend, using salt. And I would like to see Barack Obama melt like a snail in salt. Now, you might think, well, that's not specifically calling for Obama to die, right? No, he specifically called for Obama to die. And I'm going to tell you something. I hate Barack Obama. You say, well, you just mean you don't like what he stands for. No, I hate the person. Oh, you mean you just don't like his policies? No, I hate him.
I don't know. This is tough. Not everybody who criticizes Obama is racist, but all racists are criticizing
Obama. I disagree with most of Obama's
Obama.
Policies. Not because he's black, because I think they're stupid policies.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to redeem a guy like that. To hide behind religion, praying for the death and for harm to come to another fellow human being, it's pretty spineless. And I think the only way he could truly make it up for him is if the Secret Service monitored the whole thing, they took him into the Oval Office. If he blows the president, Lewinsky style, then I think karmically he'd be okay.
As long as the semen doesn't end up in coffee.
Well, because if it did, then the president would have to pick it up and salute somebody.
I think all threats against the president are investigated by the FBI.
Secret Service, specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as they're not getting whores in Colombia.
Right.
Call back to last week.
Both are very, very adequate uses of your time. Not necessarily taxpayers' money, but, you know, hey, whatever raises another man's flag is none of my business.
100% Colombian, guys.
Goes back to the coffee. Yeah, we're just tying all this shit together. But he also calls
big old pretty package for you.
But because Obama's mom posed nude for photos in her youth, he's literally calling her a whore. Because there are so many questions surrounding the legitimacy of Barack Obama, to call him a bastard is generous if you actually look at the evidence. So he's a bastard, and no matter what you believe, his mom's a total whore, a harlot, and trash, and promiscuous, and the filthiness of her fornication, etc., etc. He actually said etc., etc., by the way. I didn't add that. Is this a man that hates Obama a little too much that he might be projecting?
Well, here's another guy who spends too much time thinking about other men's genitals and fornication, and etc., etc.
I see what you did there with the etc., etc. Nice.
Yeah, this guy obviously has issues, but they're not real issues, because when you start talking about someone else's mom, you lose any hope of high ground that you had, and he never really had any hope for high ground.
You know what I was doing last night? Yo, mom!
But the whole, your mom's a whore, is like, okay, now you're just fucking name-calling. What are you, 12? Jesus fucking Christ.
Let's round out the show tonight talking about the Washington Redskins. Now, we talked about it before, how, you know, like having the Detroit Niggers would not have been an accepted name. And we all disagreed on whether Redskins as a team name is offensive or not. This just got weirder. The Washington Redskins are suing the 5 Native Americans who kicked off the Washington Redskins Are Racist campaign. The team, which used Redskins as part of its name since 1933, says in court papers that the Patent Office Board was wrong and that its trademarks are proper because the term was not offensive when the trademarks were registered. The team says canceling the trademarks, which were registered between 1967 and 1990, would violate the Constitution, unquote. What they're saying is, you people are hurting our brand, and they are suing the 5 civilians for defamation.
Well, the countersuit is just, it's incorrect on its face, because if the name Washington Redskins was trademarked in 1933, Redskin was very much an offensive term at that time. It's just that the brainless idiots who lived at that time were not offended by it.
What he's talking about legally is that now the patent office has a rule: you cannot trademark anything that's a slur or offensive. That went into effect in 1990. So when Redskins was patented, that law did not affect them. So they're basically saying we shouldn't be grandfathered into a law made after we registered our trade.
Okay, that changes things a little bit. I think that's mostly all just anger now. If I can speak directly to the owner of the Washington Redskins, it is an offensive name. It's an offensive name towards the people that our British ancestors came over to their country and then killed almost all of them. It
Would
is
like
an offensive
an
name.
Blanket?
Yes, smallpox blanket. That was us that did that. In fact, it wouldn't be an offensive name if we didn't use it to disparage the people that were living in our country before us. I think this is just stupid. I think we need to move on. I think it's a fucking football team. It is all recreation. None of this really matters in any fucking way. It's a football team. Oh, they have so many fans. Washington Redskins. Who the fuck cares? I'm sure the LA Raiders didn't act like this when they moved to Oakland. What the fuck is the problem? Why do people have to attach, like, such a sacred quality to shit that just does not deserve it? Okay? You're trying to defend a name that is on its face offensive for the sake of a football team. I think we need to find better things in this country to waste our time with.
For the sake of money, they're doing it because it would be so costly to rebrand themselves. And frankly, it would be so hard, and so much money would have to go into it. Think of all the merchandise and all the, God forbid they actually do a little bit of work to try and rebrand and have something that isn't offensive. I can understand why they're doing it, because it would be a tremendous amount of work, a tremendous expense. But on the other hand, they need to fucking grow up and fucking do it, because it's fucking racist. It really is. It should never have been a thing in the first place.
If it were rebrand an NFL franchise, then they would think the term is offensive. That means bullshit to me.
But Kat, then let me ask you this. What about them suing the 5 civilians who started the whole "this is racist" thing? Isn't that just spiteful? Or do you think that that's a legal tactic as a way to try and keep the Redskins name? Like their lawyers came up with some obscure legalese that this is part of.
I'm sure they're doing everything that they can to try and see if they can put off having to rebrand themselves. I'm sure they're going to do every single appeal process that they possibly can just to see if they can get out of having to actually follow the law.
I think every Native American tribe in America should run a Kickstarter or pool all their money and buy the Washington Redskins, and then they can change the name.
To what would we change the name to? So, I mean, like, should it be something like ironically offensive?
Washington Caucasians?
The Caucasoids, the white,
Washington
white
team owners.
the Washington sports team that throws pigskin. I think it is just straight out spiteful that they would sue, and I keep using the word civilians, which is not the right term, but that these people who are just activists that said, you know what, we're Native American, and that's offensive to us. Would they sue the NAACP if the Detroit Niggers was a team and the NAACP was saying this is wrong? I think it's both spiteful, but the way they're going about it, there has to be some sort of a legal strategy involved, because I don't think they would do this out of spite, for one, as Kat pointed out, because of the cost. There has to be some legal angle they're going for, I think.
I think that's the only legal strategy that they haven't tried yet. I think they're just trying to sway the court of public opinion. I think they're trying to paint themselves as the victims who just, you know, the team was already named Washington Redskins by the time I started working here. I didn't do any of this. Why are you blaming me? Like, I think that's what they're trying to pull off.
I inherited the slaves from my parents. I'm not a slave owner.
I hope they get scalped in court. Well, I mean, would it be better if they end up with a wounded knee?
Do you expect this to be some kind of trial of tears?
You know what? They're just sending smoke signals. All right, that's enough racism.
You guys are working way too hard for these puns. I mean, you are working really damn hard.
It's called commitment, Kat.
Yeah, it's commitment to a bit, damn it. If you're going to be stupid all the way, you know? You don't half-ass it.
To the art form of the pun.
All right, well, we've been punny and racist enough tonight. Kat, if people want to find you or listen to the other show where you're talking about this stupid crap, where can they go?
Oh, my God. You can catch me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat at Facebook.com/NerdistCat. You can also find me on my show where I don't talk about this sort of stuff, where I talk about cool geek stuff over on Nerd to the Third Power on That Guy with the Glasses under the podcast tab. And then you can also find me on my other show where I do talk about this kind of stuff, but with other people on my other show, Thespian Talk, over on whatever, rtgomer.com. Sorry, I couldn't remember what the website was because I never promo this one for some reason.
Where can people where can people find the Chucko McMucko?
You can find all my stupid crap on geekjuicemedia.com. I'm on Live Nude Geeks, Random Reviews Radio, Trailer Park, and I just got a book review up there this past week. Also Facebook, Twitter, CHARLEY. You'll find it.
And you can find me, 1201beyond.com. Contact the show, 1201beyond@gmail.com. Remember, we have t-shirts now. You can get a What the Fuck t-shirt, Radiodrome t-shirt. We've got some original designs. We've got some more stuff coming. Go to 1201beyond.com. Buy a t-shirt, damn it. Try to have a good night. Don't be racist. And remember, if your coffee tastes a little bit funny, it's probably from an upscale sodomite semen.
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.